Father, I thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're so grateful for that. And I thank you for the privilege of being your child because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. I pray for our time this morning and ask you to fill it with your Spirit. I ask you to speak. I ask you to take your words from your holy word and burn them into our hearts. Do this, God, and transform us. Make us different people because of your word and your Spirit and your power. And I pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so life always comes from life. In biology, that's axiomatic. They've even did studies way back, hundreds of years ago. They're famous. You learned them in your biology class. They tried to get life from matter that was not living, and you can't. Life always comes from life. Dead matter cannot produce life. It's impossible. Spiritual life is no different. In the spiritual world, new life comes from life. When Jesus died, you could say that the lives of his disciples, in a sense, died with him. I'm not talking physically, but their hope died on the cross. Their future died on the cross. They were full of grief unimaginable when Jesus was crucified. They were overcome with fear. They were hiding away in an upper room lest they be discovered. And if they were discovered, they were afraid they were next. By Pentecost, that's 50 days later, they were new people. You could say they were born again. They had new life. They had hope. They had power. And where did this new life come from? What changed them? What happened between Good Friday and Pentecost that totally flipped their lives upside down? Or maybe I should say right side up, however you want to do it. But it was a complete reversal. What happened? The new life came from the resurrection. And that new life and that new hope that the disciples received was not just for them. It's for you and it's for me as well. Now, just a couple days ago on Good Friday, when we looked at the cross, I said to you, you know the story of the cross. And we're not going to teach the story of the cross. We're going to teach what the cross did. And we talked about the love of God and the propitiation for our sins and so on, what that means and what God did there on the cross. Today, Easter Sunday, we're looking at the resurrection, and we're going to do the same thing. I'm not going to talk about the story of the resurrection. You know the story. You're familiar with it. You know the women at the tomb. You know the stone rolled away, the guards fleeing. You know the upper room. You know the appearances of Jesus. You know the men on the road to Emmaus and Mary Magdalene in the garden. And in Galilee, he made several different appearances. One, he's in a boat, and one, he's making breakfast. And you know the stories. But what did the resurrection do? I mean, that's what happened, but what did it do? We're going to look at that. And the resurrection did all kinds of things. And we're not going to look at every single thing the resurrection has accomplished for us. That would be many, many sermons, and we're not going to do that. We're just going to look at a couple of things. And so the scripture that I gave you is from 1 Peter, and it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And so somebody read that for us. Go ahead, Handy. Read it for us.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you.
Okay. Thank you. Now, those verses begin with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I were to just make that in even simpler words, praise God. That's what that means. Praise God. And then he tells you why to praise God. He says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope, into an inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled and unfading and kept in heaven for you. And so, here's, I'm just going to put this in simple words then. Praise God because he's given us a new birth, a living hope, and a glorious inheritance. That's what Peter is saying. Praise God because he's giving us those things. And where do these things come from? The new birth, the hope, and the inheritance. He says in the text, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the power that gives us a new birth, a living hope, and a glorious inheritance. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to look at these gifts, these three gifts that Peter says the resurrection gives us. And we're just going to talk about them today. Because their source is the resurrection. So first, the resurrection gives us new birth. Peter says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, new birth means new life. New life always comes from life. Peter is saying that the resurrection is the source of your new life in Christ. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, you cannot be born again. We'll put it this way. No resurrection, no new life. No resurrection, no new birth. They're tied together just like that. Now, I want you to think for a moment of a birth, because he says God has caused us to be born again. That's a birth. A birth is a beginning. That's what a birth is. And sometimes people forget this about the Christian life, and they talk about being born again as if that the being born again is itself the Christian life. And you say, well, are you living the Christian life? Well, yeah, I was born again. And that's kind of silly when you start to think about it. It's like saying that the starting line of a marathon is the race itself. It's just the starting line. The race is a long race. And the starting line is simply not the race. It's just the starting line of the race. And the new birth is not itself the Christian life. It's the beginning of the Christian life. See, Jesus expects us to live a new life because he caused you to be born into that life. He began it. The Christian faith is a lifetime thing, not a one-time experience. And I've met many people who've had one-time experiences, and they even got baptized, perhaps, from their one-time experiences. But I wonder if they ever had new life, because they show no evidence of it. I'm not trying to be nitpicky with people, but you have to understand that a new birth exists to begin a new life. And if you have a new birth, but you never have a new life, I don't think you really had a new birth. That's what the birth's point and purpose is to live a new life. Now, this is a work that God is doing. Look at the text. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Verse 3 says, according to whose great mercy? Whose great mercy is it?
The God and Father.
Yeah, that's right, God. According to God's great mercy. This is something God has done by his great mercy. And then it says, who has caused you to be born again? Who did this? God did this. Okay, God has shown you mercy, and God has actually caused you to be born. I mean, people don't cause themselves to be born even in the real world, even in the physical world, right? Nobody causes his own birth. His birth is caused by previous life that brought it about. It's the same thing with God. God has caused us to be born again, and he did it because he's merciful to us. In Christ, God has been merciful to you, and God has changed you. You have not changed yourself. He changed you. And God's work lasts. So just because, you know, someone, you or whoever, may have an emotional experience, those emotional experiences, they can be here today, gone tomorrow. But when God works in a man or a woman, God's work is eternal. God's work is not just here today, gone tomorrow. And so in Christ, you are new. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, he has caused you to be born again through the resurrection into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ is risen. Praise the Lord. But what that means is, so are you. You are risen to a new life. But the life that you live is Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Paul puts it in Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because you have the hope of glory in you, you have hope. That's the next thing he talks about. Look at 1 Peter again. Verse 3, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to what? To a living hope. This new birth and this hope, they go together. This new life that you are born into is a life of hope. And it's new because prior to Christ, you had no hope. Some people have false hope, meaning they think they have hope, but in reality, they have no hope, even if they think they do. But in Christ, you have real hope. Now, in the Bible, the word hope, here's what it refers to. In the Bible, the word hope refers to confidence for good things in the future. Those three things: confidence, good things, future. Biblical hope knows what is coming. I don't mean it knows every detail. Don't mishear me. I'm not saying that we know all the details of the second coming and when it will be. That's not what I'm talking about. But we know what's coming, generally speaking, for us in the future. We know where we're going, and we know it's good. And we know it's going to be a whole lot better than what we've got here and now. That's what biblical hope is. The Christian who has been born again to a living hope is looking forward to what's coming. We should be people looking forward to what we have coming. Now let me ask you this question. Have you ever dreaded what was coming? Maybe an upcoming punishment for something? Or maybe a difficult talk that you had to have with somebody and you're dreading it. When that happens, it affects your heart. You're looking into the future, dreading what's coming in the future, but it's affecting you today, right now, because you're dreading it. And it affects how your heart feels right now. And it's not even going on right now. That's something that's coming later. New scenario. Have you ever looked forward to what is coming? Maybe your wedding day. Maybe a graduation. Maybe something that you know it's coming, it's soon, it's up there. And you see it, and it's going to be really good, and you know it, and you're looking forward to it. See, that affects your heart right now too, doesn't it? You take those two scenarios. You're dreading what's coming, or you're looking forward to what's coming. And just think of what they do to your heart right now. Okay, this is how the Christian is. We have hope. We look forward to the future, as we would look forward to our wedding day, because we know it's going to be really, really good. This is hope. And it affects your heart right now. We have hope because God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection brings hope. You don't believe me? Go back to the disciples. On Good Friday, they had no hope. But by Sunday, they had a living hope. The resurrection brings hope. The resurrection takes you from death to eternal life. And yes, by the way, we have to die. We are in Christ. Christ died. We're not going to get to skip what he had to go through. But he rose from the dead, and we will rise with him. It means we will go through death to glory, just as Christ has. It's like this. What if an Olympic athlete knew that in the end, he was going to win gold? What if he knew that? It would give him a different perspective on all of the hard work and all of the difficulty that he's going through while he's training for that medal. And he has to go through all of that difficulty now. But he knows, in the end, I got gold. And if he knew that he would win gold, he would endure all of the hardship with joy, because he knew what was coming. Now, in Christ, that's us. We are that Olympic athlete. We know we're getting gold in the end. Now we will have plenty of hardship, plenty of suffering, plenty of persecution, plenty of mockery, you name it. But in the end, God says, you win gold because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and you have been born again into that. You've been born again into that life. That's where you're going. Now, this hope that we have involves an inheritance. That's the last thing that Peter says here. He says, we have been born again into a living hope to an inheritance. This is verse 4 now. To an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Okay, the resurrection gives you new birth. It's a new life. The resurrection gives you a living hope. And now the resurrection is giving you a glorious inheritance. Peter says this inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. What that means is it cannot be destroyed. It means it is completely pure, the inheritance that you have. And it means it is eternal. It does not fade. Jesus talked this way. Think of what Jesus said. Here's what he said. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, Jesus is saying, pursue the right kind of inheritance. He's saying, pursue an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled, and that is unfading, and that is kept in heaven for you. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where these things don't destroy it. This inheritance, the inheritance of the kingdom of God, comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. That's where it comes from. Why do God's people have this glorious inheritance? We have it because we have been born again to a living hope. Think this way. When a child is born, that child becomes an heir. When a child is born, he becomes part of a family. You're born into a family. In Christ, when God caused you to be born again to a living hope, you became His child. He's the one that caused you to be born again. You are now His child. And if you are His child, you are an heir of His. Children and heirs are the same thing. And that's what you are in Christ. Well, then, if you're an heir, you have an inheritance. And so Peter's just giving us some information about that inheritance that we have in Christ. This inheritance is superior to anything else you could possibly pursue or have here on earth. See, most people here on earth, in this life, they pursue an earthly inheritance. They want money. And some of them actually get it. They want people to speak well of them. They want property. They want to be seen as smart. They want knowledge. They want friends. That this is the kind of things we pursue here on earth. Now, in and of themselves, there's actually nothing wrong with those things. They're good things. God has given us many good things here on earth to enjoy. They're not necessarily evil, but neither will they last. They're not eternal. Your money will disappear. You will either spend it, or the economy will go bad and the stock market will crash and your 401, you know, IRAs and all of that will go down with them. Or you will die. And when you die, what happens to your money? Well, you don't get it anymore. That goes to somebody else. Your home, your car, they fall apart. Your health will eventually fly away. Your career will end. Your knowledge will fade. But through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you have an inheritance that no one can take away. No one. You have an inheritance that no one can destroy and that will never fade. You have an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you have been born again into a living hope to this inheritance in which you are going to meet Jesus face to face. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. There will be no more death. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death has died. And when you are raised with Him, there is no more death. We go through death once. After that, there's no more death in the resurrection. You have in Christ a hope that no one can take away. You have a peace that no one can thwart. You have a joy that no one can destroy. You have riches that no one can steal. They can't steal what's in your heart. Nor can they steal what's in heaven. You have a security that is sure. You have promises that will be fulfilled. How can you know you have this inheritance? Here's how. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's how you know you have this inheritance. Death itself could not stop Him. You know, here on earth, the way kings try to stop people is by killing them. And typically, the king thinks you kill them and you kill whatever it was they were doing because they can't do it anymore. That didn't work with Jesus. They killed him. That's actually what they were trying to do. They were trying to do what all the kings of earth are trying to do when they kill somebody they don't like. They did that with Jesus. He rose from the dead. What do you do with that? I mean, if you're the enemy of Christ, there's nothing you can do with that. He has overcome you. The work to obtain your inheritance is already done. You don't have to earn it. You're an heir. I mean, what does a child have to do to be an heir? Be born. That's what a child has to do. Well, you're born again into a living hope. You're an heir. And the inheritance is kept in heaven, and it is already in your name. There's an inheritance in heaven. It's got Handy's name on it. If that's how it works. It's for Handy. I don't know if they put names on it in heaven or not, but for rhetorical purposes, it's in your name. And so his resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, has given you a new life. It has given you a living hope. It has given you an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Guys, this is wondrously good news. And it comes from Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's what it comes from. I'm going to close this way. What I want to do, I want to ask us to take a minute and meditate on this inheritance we have. Meditate on what's coming. You know, we talked about looking forward to the future. I want you to think about your future in Christ and what's coming. In Christ, you're going to rise from the dead and you have an inheritance. And you're going to see him face to face. And all that stuff we talked about, you know, no more tears, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. That's where you're going. That's what you've got in the future. What I want to do is I want us to just take a moment and meditate on that. So on your own, silently, think on this inheritance you have in Christ. Now what I want you to do is this. I want you to understand that the reason you receive that inheritance you were just meditating on is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's why you have that inheritance. And so I want you now to meditate on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now I want to ask someone to offer up a prayer of thanksgiving for the resurrection and for what it has accomplished. So just pray out.
Our Father, I thank you for the resurrection of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And I pray in the name of the Lord Yeshua that we all get to praise you and thank you and give you glory, that you would be satisfied, that you created us, that you redeemed us, and that you renewed all the work of creation and redemption and the cross and the grave and resurrection, ascension, and everything, and the second coming to us, that we feel it's worth. We pray that we will be good children to you. And I thank you that Kate is here today, that everyone else is here today, and we pray glory to your name. We would love to see you as King on the throne of the life of each one of us. Please forgive our weaknesses, our sins, transgressions, trespasses, lack of faith, and we pray that we would be filled with you throughout the Holy Spirit in us. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.